The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Because we're waiting for a living imam, you've noticed all around, meaning in our community locally and globally, you see believers, mu'mineen and mu'minat, making effort to commemorate this event. So you have people reciting poetry, which is great. You have people hosting mu'mineen and mu'minat, absolutely important. We'll have some people reciting salam, ya Mahdi. That's also, we have to have these kind of things. The question is this: what's the most important thing we need to do for the imam to return? All of those are great, and we have to do those. But our question tonight to ask ourselves, and inshallah, the three points that we want to kind of focus on tonight will be with that outlook. What is it that the imam needs from us? You see, they teach us this: true intidhar, or waiting for the imam, means that you and I have to identify what are the traits that our imam needs us to have. For instance, our imam is going to establish justice. We have to be working towards that. Our imam needs ikhlas. We have to be working on our ikhlas, right? We have to be working on the traits that our imam needs then, now. We have to create the grounds, be those people who are ready for the imam by having the traits that the imam wants then, now. Meaning we have to create the grounds. That's on us. Having said that, our question that we want to ask ourselves is, what is it that the imam really needs? What is it that even if we are reciting dua nutba and we are crying our eyes out, we are offering food, gifts, these kind of things, but without this, the imam won't return. We're looking for that. So inshallah, we want to take three lessons, three reminders, of course, obviously, first for myself, but then for all of you, and then also to share with others, inshallah, in order to do our responsibility. So instead of us only looking to the imam today, last night, for dua, for our needs, this time, what does he need from us? So brothers and sisters, we usually go over the ayat of the Quran together. I'm going to share one verse of the Quran about this perspective. What does God need? What does the imam need? And I'll ask brothers and sisters, as usual, to see if they can find this verse in the Quran or on your phones, and we'll read this verse together. Okay. So brothers and sisters, see if you can turn to Surah Baqarah and verse number 245. Let's see if I'm quoting this verse correctly. Remember the question though. The question is, what does God need from us? Or in our case, what does the imam need from us? So let's read this verse together. We're looking at the Arabic, and then we'll read the translation together. God is asking, who is it? Man dhalladhi يُقْرِضُ اللَّهُ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who is it who will give God a goodly loan? Right? How can we help? Who will give God a loan? If we do that, فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. If you do that, then God will multiply what you do in his way multiple times. We're looking for the idea of what do I need to do for the imam? Three lessons. The first lesson, well, I'm just going to kind of run over them and I'll see if I can cover all of them in 15 minutes and 45 seconds. Number one is connecting the dots. Why is it so necessary if we're working for the dhuhur of the imam to connect the dots and talk about current events? Number one. Number two, what is the prophetic approach to the clarification jihad? I've talked before about the idea of the clarification jihad, the idea that you and I, we have one responsibility to first learn Islam, to embrace Islam, to implement Islam, but then after that, we also have a responsibility to spread the teachings of Islam as is in smaller circles. So the prophetic approach of our prophet when it comes to the clarification jihad. Number three, we're going to deconstruct one of the greatest obstacles to the return of the imam. For this one, I'm going to give the reference in the book so brothers and sisters can read ahead and find out what that greatest obstacle is. And then all of us collectively and individually will work on trying to deconstruct that biggest obstacle to the, one of the biggest obstacles to the return of the imam. So we'll start with the first one. The first one, brothers and sisters, is why is it so necessary when we have a religious gathering? We're here. We could just talk about the 12th imam. We could talk about when he was born. We could talk about who his mother was. We could talk about a lot of things. We wouldn't necessarily, we could have a session like this and not connect it to current events at all and go home and everybody would feel good. But what happened over here? Yes, Quds is a big thing. We have to prepare for Quds from now. We have to prepare our children for Quds. More than that, one other current event. Why is it that we would connect these events to the coming of the imam? Isn't it okay? Let's just talk about the imam and not bring anything current into it. Keep it clean. Part of the reason that people will tell us not to talk about these things is they say you've just got to be smart. Don't poke the bear. Just keep your nose clean. Don't talk about these kind of events. Quds, just keep your nose clean. Everybody knows our stance on Quds. Don't connect the dots. Don't speak up for the oppressed. Don't make it that the coming of the imam means you have to teach your children about Quds. Don't do that. Why? Because it's smart. You got to be smart. The problem with that, brothers and sisters, this is the first lesson for today. Brothers and sisters, I'll be absolutely honest with you. There is a price for resistance. Resistance, not rolling over, because people advise you, just roll over. Don't say anything. There is a price for resistance. But the price for surrender is a lot greater. So there's a price for surrender. There's also a price for resistance. But the price for surrender is a lot greater. And I want to give you some hadith about this. And then after that, some examples about this. And we'll move on to our next question. So we're answering, well, why is it that we have to mention that brother? Okay? Let's learn the principle now. This is from Imam Sadiq. So the Imam says this. Man mana'a haqqan lillah, whoever prevents, stops a right that God has. Man mana'a haqqan lillah, azza wa jal, anfaqa fi batilin mithlay. This person will spend twice what they could have spent for haqq in batil. There's still a price, but it's more if you surrender. Hadith. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, a socket. So they advise us, be silent. Don't connect the dots, right? Imam Ali says, a socket. The person who's silent, akhuradi. When I'm neutral, when I don't take a side, I actually am taking a side. And I'm taking the side of the zalim, right? Imam says this, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ مَعَنَا كَانَ عَلَيْنَا. Those who aren't with us are against us.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Karimun محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.